Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Well, I've got one more double feature for you this week as I continue my journey in the desert. We will start off today with some classic Desert Oracle Radio, paying tribute to another classic Desert Radio host. This episode was produced by Ken Lane, April 19th, 2018. It's titled, The Lost Kingdom of Nye.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Well, night has fallen on the Mojave, and it sure is busy out there. Out here tonight, a few too many cars. They've got the big music festival going on down in the low desert. All kinds of entertainment and spectacle. Top-tier entertainers and large-scale productions. It's like the stardust on the strip never came down, was never destroyed with explosives at the end of the 1970s and 80s Desert Weekend stage extravaganza era. Those Vegas shows with hundreds of dancers, scores of musicians, the top vocalists and band leaders. Las Vegas won that war, the glitz war. And so a lot of visitors are around. And people do want to come up and see the high desert, which has recently become popular with travelers and weekenders, especially due to the Mojave Desert's appearance in many popular movies. Popular movies such as 1979's The Muppet Movie. Now, there was a part when the various Muppets are stranded in the desert after their beat-up old car breaks down. It's not their car, exactly, as it is a car stolen from a hibernating bear, I believe a relative of one of the other Muppets. But then they have a nice campfire out in the desert, and they talk about their failed dreams. You see, they had dreamed of getting out of their various bad situations, Florida, etc., and heading west to Los Angeles, where they might find work as low-budget entertainers, clowns and idiots of various sorts, animal-human hybrids. God knows what they are. Or what they were supposed to be. And then the car broke down. They claimed it was New Mexico, but there aren't any Joshua trees in New Mexico, not by nature's hand, anyway. And many other movies and videos, many movies and videos with memorable scenes filmed in the Great Mojave Desert, the Great Mojave Wilderness.
Exterior desert night. We knew right where you were.
Well, there was Star Wars up at Dante's View in Death Valley, and I don't know what else. Oh, but what I do know is that I never get over the fantastic luck. The fantastic luck of having the National Park Movement, the Land Conservation Movement, the Wilderness Act, all these fantastic human advances in thought and deed. I never get over how we've been able to set aside so many of these great landscapes and ecosystems in the West, and how it was made possible by an accident in time that our human morals regarding desert conservation arrived at a time when much of the West had been claimed and set aside as public land because it had no immediate agricultural value, no immediate use as urban habitation outside of a few ancient communities around the few desert rivers that flowed more or less reliably. It's like it was meant to be, like maybe John Wesley Powell set things in motion after all. That Mary Hunter Austin and John Muir and all these early writers and philosophers of the West saw the horizon ahead, knew what they did would make a difference down the road and down the trail and down the river. You have got to be able to appreciate the good, appreciate what has happened, and study the past to figure out the future. You cannot go around fuming about the fallacies of those who could not manage to do it to your own personal specifications. You have got to acknowledge the good that has been done, that is being done. And then if you're so pure, you will be able to lovingly assemble the knowledge of the good people who came before you, who work alongside you, your sisters and brothers, your friends and your neighbors, your comrades and your frenemies, and improve upon what they've done, giving proper credit along the way and for the common good of us all. It's good to remember the good things, good to remember the good luck we've had in the past. Especially the recent past. It's good to try to be an optimist when you can stand it, and an optimist has got to accept that moral evolution is going to have its dips, its market corrections. We're going to get there. Maybe we are getting there, and now and again you have the wind at your back and you just know. And you're right there, making one of those weird and disruptive leaps forward. And if you look at the horizon in the golden hour, you just might see the right kind of future. We can do it. That's the crazy part. We can do it. We can do it. We know how. Lots of little ankle biters trying to slow you down, but they are at the end of their line. They are weary and they are tired from a life of sin, a life of shame, an existence of human garbage and moral sewage. Oh, they're just the worst. We've always got some of them, and it's a happy thing to consider that despite the noise, despite the backsliding and dirty tricks and plain old mobsterism, the other side of all this is going to be something else. Anyway, welcome to the desert. Wherever you are tonight, welcome to the desert. You want to get out in the desert when you can, and you want to kind of disappear with purpose. Find a quiet place. Oh, for the love of God, do not come to the high desert for the nightlife. We don't have any, none that you'd want anyway. Oh, the nightlife ain't no good life, but it's my life. Willie Nelson wrote that. And he did not write that here. Come up here to enjoy the quiet. Come up here to be quiet. It's nice to make some food and sit around the fireplace, look up at the night sky, get a night or two sleep without the upstairs neighbors stomping over your head. And if you get too lonely, why, you can go over to Pappy's on a weeknight when there's not a line outside the door, and then you can have yourself a beer. It was maybe a decade or so back when you could cruise into Pappy and Harriet's on a Sunday night and go right to a picnic table by the dance floor, and there would be Victoria Williams drawling out a Bob Dylan song, Positively 4th Street or something. I mean, Victoria Williams is part of this hot local band, our Sunday night church, Solid Ray Woods on the drum kit. And then he'd sing a soul song, little kids on the dance floor, what a time. A desert highway honky-tonk or a ranch dance or any such thing is special because it's rare. It's rare to go out when you live on a ranch, when you're way out at the end of Wonder Valley, when you've got a mining claim, or you're working at one of the desert study centers. It's Isaac's, or the Granite Mountains, or the White Mountains. Maybe you're working up at Deep Springs, or at the Deep Space Antennas, or at Area 51, and now and then you've got to get out there with the bright lights and loud country music. Near Beer and Moab, 12% craft brew IPA in the Eastern Sierra or Bend, Oregon. Oh, it's fun to be around people when it's a novelty. One of the friendliest saloons I've ever enjoyed is the bar at the Furnace Creek Ranch in Death Valley. It's just a little bar, but the fact that it's the only saloon around makes it special. It makes it friendly and enjoyable. You've probably been outside all day, walking trails, exploring canyons, maybe bicycling down the two-lane alongside large motorhomes and tour buses. And now it's nighttime. And it's cooler out than the welcoming lights and the ruckus and the jukebox music lure you in. Well, let's just drop in and say hello. Get a beer and some onion rings, rack them up on the pool table, and if it's a quiet night, that's all good enough for an hour's nourishment, and off you go. Maybe off to read a book or spend a nervous hour or two on the internet digesting bad news. Some nights will be different, of course. Some nights will be memorable. A couple of years back, on the night of January 27, 2015, the Black Sabbath musician Geezer Butler got into a bar brawl in Furnace Creek. It was a Tuesday night. Incredible. Well, Geezer, who was 65 years old at the time, well, he got into an argument with somebody right there at the Furnace Creek Resort. And next thing you know, the Inyo County Sheriff's deputies are out there. And there were broken windows and somebody got knocked around. It must have been a memorable Tuesday night in late January. I had just checked out of that place a couple of days before. Well, Geezer was cited and hauled off to sober up. And who knows what else happened? Who even cares? It's just an oddity. It's just a way to illustrate a point. Anyway, nobody likes that guy at a bar. Even if that guy formed Black Sabbath with Ozzy Osbourne back in 1968. I mean, who cares? Just don't start a fight in a bar. Good Lord, we've all got enough bad things to deal with in the daytime hours. Live from the Joshua Tree Wilderness, it's Open Lines on Desert Oracle Radio. Western Mojave, dial toll-free 760-733-9969. Eastern Mojave, dial 760-733-9969. Wildcard line dial 760-733-9969. And now, your host. You know, I just find it very interesting that we're just learning that we are supposedly just now learning about something truly remarkable. You see these images and it's breathtaking. Are they real? Is any of this real? You look at these pictures, and I'm sure you're looking at these pictures on your home computer tonight, and it boggles the mind. Astonishing. It's astonishing when you think about all the rumors, all the theories, the documents, the photographs, of course. But until now, until tonight, we perhaps did not grasp the, I guess I should say, the complexity of the situation. And we will hear much more about that, of course. We'll hear much more of that in the third hour with our very special guest. Oh, I think you know who it is. Our very special guest returning for the first time this year. The great lion in his field. The one and only Dr. Wyndham Hill joining us tonight on Desert Oracle Radio. We're going to open up the open lines. You know what that means. I have a feeling it's going to be a wild ride tonight. Let's go to the Western Mojave line. Western Mojave, you're on Desert Oracle AM live on the radio.
Yes.
Sir, if you can turn your radio down. Sir, can you turn your radio down?
Yes.
Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona on the wild card line.
That's right. Well, it's excellent to be on the air here on Desert Oracle Live.
You have a story.
What's the topic tonight?
We're on open lines on strange tales of the deserts.
That's right. Yeah, I have a story about a strange craft that I saw in the sky.
A strange craft.
Many years ago.
What's your first name, sir?
This is Jason.
Jason from Phoenix. Thank you for joining us on the wild card line. Tell us about this craft that you've seen.
So it was many years ago in the early 2000s, and I was with some buddies in Coolidge, Arizona, which is between Phoenix and Tucson.
Is that near Casa Grande?
Yes. It's actually the city where the Casa Grande ruins, for which Casa Grande is named, are located. So the ruins themselves are actually in Coolidge next. Yeah, so we had had some buddies who, for a couple weeks previous, driving out to the community college out there, had spotted these strange lights in the sky, and they had reported seeing them for a couple weeks. Anyway,
were these among the stars, or
no? They were much, much lower than that. They seemed to be only a couple hundred feet in the air. So they had reported seeing these for a couple weeks, and so word had kind of gotten around with me and my friends. Everybody was trying to figure out what these lights were. Anyway, we were hanging out at home, and one of my roommates called out to me and said, "Hey, you need to come check this out. We can see the lights from the roof." So we went out onto the roof of this place where we were living. It was a two-story spot.
You lived on the roof?
Well, no. We went out to the roof.
Climbed up on the roof.
We climbed up, that's right. Out a window, up a ladder, and we saw these glowing lights that seemed to be in a triangle formation. There were a number of them. They were out towards Signal Peak Mountain.
Now, you saw
We saw these lights, and we're just...
Oh, you're just breaking up a little, sir. You saw three triangle-shaped lights, lights in the shape of a triangle, the three points, and only a few hundred feet over the mountain, you say?
Well, so at this point, these seem to be much higher in the air than what everybody had been seeing for the last couple of weeks. So they were higher and farther away, but seemed to resemble what we had been seeing for a couple of weeks.
And what happened once you were watching them more closely from the rooftop?
So we watched them for quite a while, and they seemed to sort of be hovering, which gave us the idea that maybe these were flares of some sort, or something maybe from one of the nearby Air Force bases or something. But we watched them for a while. I want to say it was maybe, 15 or 20 minutes of just sort of watching these things. And while we were watching them, the sun had set, and at some point after watching these lights, the entire triangle formation shifted to the side. It's sort of it was almost as if they were performing some sort of aerial maneuver. And the entire triangle shifted and began sort of circling. Like I said, they seemed pretty far away, but circling around us. So we turned around on the roof as we watched these lights travel from a far distance, but kind of circle around us, at which point the three lights shot off in three different directions and disappeared.
In different directions. Incredible. And you and how many witnesses?
Well, so there were two other witnesses. At one point, there was a fourth, but believe it or not, my fourth roommate got bored during the period where the lights weren't doing anything interesting and went inside.
How long did this encounter from start to finish take?
I would say that the encounter, it was all about maybe half an hour long.
Did anyone notice any missing time?
Well, no, we didn't, but this was, like I said, the early 2000s, so I suppose we could have been up there longer than we had even realized, but none of us were watching the clock. I guess our only real sense of how long we'd been there was the fact that the sun had set during the time, which,
this was in daylight?
When we'd gone
daylight
out.
Hours?
This was in... It started within daylight hours. Yeah, absolutely.
Good Lord. A daylight sighting, and it persisted after sunset.
That's right. It was fairly... It was dark, yeah, when they finally disappeared.
Sir, I have to ask, did you by chance witness the Phoenix Lights incident of 1997?
Well, I guess I have to be honest. I believe I did, but I wonder if it's maybe a memory just simply associated with having looked at so much material about the lights ever since. But that would have been in 1997, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so I believe that I would have been at my mom's apartment in Chandler, and I do recall going out. Chandler, Arizona is a suburb of Phoenix, and I do recall being out on her patio seeing these strange lights, yeah.
Now, have you seen anything of this sort in the years since?
No, I haven't. Not since this. Nothing like this one. I've been hiking out in the superstitions at night, and I've seen strange lights, but nothing that indicated to me that we were looking at something other than maybe a shooting star or potentially a satellite of some sort. No, this is the only real experience I have with something that I just couldn't explain.
Incredible, incredible. And sir, can I ask what you do for your employment there in Phoenix?
Yes, I'm a writer, and I work for a record store out here called Zia Records.
Well, we do appreciate you calling in. Art Bell, the legend. What a weird cat he was. Art Bell. He did not invent weird late-night radio. Many hosts were doing it around the country in the decades before his West Coast AM and Coast to Coast AM began enchanting the whole country. But he made it art. At his best, he made the lowest form of media, call-in talk radio, into a wonderful sonic performance. An intimate experience, especially if you were out on a desert highway. And of course, he did this from the high desert north of Las Vegas, a desert country town that is plenty weird on its own. Perump from the Kingdom of Nye. That's Nye County, Nevada. That's between Death Valley and Area 51. You can find hours and hours of classic Art Bell shows on the internet. Put on a good one and go about your business in the evening. And right when you might think there's nothing much going on, it goes weird and it goes deep. 1990s Art Bell Coast to Coast AM. There will never be anything like it. And if there is an afterlife, another side for someone like Art Bell, well, you can bet he can pick up radio transmissions. So from our side of the Mojave High Desert to Art Bell's side, wherever that may be tonight, Art, I wish you the best safe travels up there, out there. You can almost imagine him floating through space in that double wide he used as a broadcast studio. At the mic, a dozen cats wandering around, clouds of cigarette smoke, the phone lines all lit up. From Amboy to Isaacs, and across the Great Mojave Wilderness, this program, this show, this is Desert Oracle Radio. We're broadcasting from KCDZ 107.7 FM in Joshua Tree, Friday nights at 10 p.m. And everywhere, all the time, with your favorite podcast player. Take a look at our website, DesertOracle.com, for information on all such things, including the musical tracks you hear on this program by Joshua Tree's own Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Look him up on Bandcamp. April 26th, next week, friends. Next week, next Thursday evening, 6 p.m. sharp at the Palm Springs Art Museum. Come on down for Desert Oracle Radio Live. It's on Free Museum Thursday. And good night from the voice of the desert.
We are at the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio. Our second episode today is titled Happy Snakesgiving. Have you ever wanted to invent a holiday?
Now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Well, night has fallen on the American desert, and I just sort of feel like making a proclamation. Because you stand up here on a lectern, and you feel like you're supposed to proclaim something. There's a compulsion to make a proclamation, and considering the circumstances, I hereby proclaim a new holiday, a particular holiday for desert people, a desert Thanksgiving. In the North American desert, this could be one of those wandering holy days like Easter and Passover, or probably better, it should have a set day, a day set on the calendar that's based on a county-by-county calculation of the average day when the rattlesnakes are out again. The purpose of this regional day of thanks, a weekend of thanks, in fact, so you could get a good Saturday night party built into the thing, well, is to say goodbye to the easy times, the cooler months, when you do not think about rattlesnakes. We really only have two seasons in the desert. Up in Elko, 3 or 4 winters ago, I was buying myself one of those oilcloth flannel-lined coats at the Western Wear store because the wind was so cold around the Ruby Mountains up there that I was having a hard time just hiking around, just walking around looking at things. There were snow flurries whipping around the parking lot outside, and at the checkout, I said it felt like North Dakota out there. And the woman behind the counter, she kind of shook her head at me like I was a real idiot. She said, "We only have two seasons in Elko, too damn cold and too damn hot." And that's true of a lot of the desert, the high desert up in Utah, southern Arizona, and up around Dulce, New Mexico, where there's supposed to be a secret alien base inside the mountain. All kinds of weird lights in the sky, things coming in and out of the mountainside. Once I went up to Dulce to look, I'd read a lot of garbage on the internet, and I thought I might better drive up there and look. And while it's a really pretty place, countryside-wise, I did not see anything outrageous. I filled up the tank at the casino, and that was about the height of the excitement. But once the rattlesnakes are out, it's really, really time to welcome part 2 of the year. And that's why you should call this desert holiday Snakesgiving. I want you to think about it a little. Maybe it's a better name than it sounds right now. You might want to have a weekend event of some kind, maybe a barbecue or something. Get a keg if you like that kind of thing. And at midnight, everybody can wish each other a happy Snakesgiving. And people would all kiss each other like on New Year's. Oh, you could time the births in the neighborhood. Well, the best thing about Snakesgiving is that other regions of the country would not be allowed to celebrate it. Because it's not just about snakes, of course. It's about the desert. It's a thing that can only be done in the desert. Desert springtime, as seen on Instagram, that brief and wonderful time of year, rarely more than 11 days total, when you see wildflowers without trying, when the cactus wren is noisily making its nest, when if you're lucky you spot a tortoise with a mouthful of flowers, when the first rosy boa is spotted and the baby jackrabbits and the antelope ground squirrels and the cottontails happily hop around one another, all having a fine time, until Mr. Roadrunner comes creeping by. Mr. Roadrunner dive-bombing off the patio roof, spearing baby ground squirrels on its beak, hungry for the flesh of the young. A week or two back ago, I stopped by a party at an old gas station on the highway in Joshua Tree. It's the one with the giant cowboy character outside, Big Josh. Everybody was in a festive mood. It was a warm night with the usual gusty winds, drink cups flying off the picnic tables now and then, just a cheerful scene all the way around. It's always nice to see people now and then for a special occasion. People like to feel obligated to go out now and then. You're thinking, well, I don't feel like going over there because it's just fine over here. But this is a special occasion, and that's why I will go, and then you usually have a great time, thanks to being compelled to go because it's a special occasion. Well, there's no special occasion like a holiday. As nobody is going to bother to make a desert-wide, county-by-county average day of the return of the rattlesnakes, let's just say it's the weekend before May 1st, the weekend before or including May Day. And this year, that would be this weekend, April 28th and 29th. You really don't have much time to plan, so I advise you to keep it simple. Maybe go out to the nature preserve or the park up by the mountains. Maybe bring some trash bags. Pick up all the beer cans and scumbags and shotgun shells. That's always satisfying to do. Or plant some native plants around your property. Go for a run in the foothills. Hang out on the back porch looking at the baby rabbits. Put on some records. Unplug the TV. Sit outside. Listen to the coyotes. Listen for owls swooping by. See how far you can throw your phone. I don't want anybody to tell any of those people at the Genius Bar this, but I throw my phone as far as I can pretty often. I like to throw it on the trail when it makes me mad. I just throw my dumb phone as far as I can up the trail, which is really just sand, decomposed granite, the occasional chunk of quartz, rocks of various sorts. I'm no geologist. But it's usually when I'm trying to tell the robot to make a reminder to call in for swamp cooler service in the morning, something like that. And about 90 seconds later, it says something idiotic like creating a reminder to push the painted goblin up the stamp dispenser. And it does get frustrating. I mean, I've got a pen and a little notepad right there in my pocket. Talking to a poorly designed capitalist robot that turns half your words into brand names and the other half into gibberish is the exact legal opposite of what they call self-care. Now, many people, some people anyway, will celebrate the coming of the hot months. One thing people will do in the desert is try to be the person who likes it the hottest. You know somebody like that. Oh, 120, it's nothing to me. They'll say, oh, I work outside on purpose. I don't even have any work to do. I'll just stand outside at 3 in the afternoon in late July, moving rocks around the driveway in the sun. And I admire it, I guess. Good for them. But by late July, I swear to God, I'm looking at those autumn pictures on the internet. You know what I'm talking about? Pictures of fall leaves and farmhouses in New England or something. People outside smiling, wearing sweaters and down jackets. A homemade pie with berries of some kind, and it's cooling on a rack in the open window of the farmhouse kitchen, a cool, gentle breeze. And outside you can see a river with water in it. I guess they call it a stream. And there's a wooden water wheel and a family churning butter or something. Who knows what they're doing? There's a long-haired farm dog of some kind running around in the grass and not hiding in the shade of the pickup truck with its tongue hanging out, dropping out into the sand. And I start thinking of all the nice times I had outside during season one of the year, season one of two. I make the drive up to Death Valley or the Mojave Preserve whenever I can, which is not enough, but I find a couple of excuses here and there throughout the year. The last time I made that drive, I think it was March, and it was good as ever, but it was already heating up by then, especially around Tecopa and Shoshone. But it was just before Christmas time, last Christmas time, when I was taking that drive back to Joshua Tree from Nevada, I had to go up to North Vegas to visit this character about some UFO documents. He had some UFO papers he thought I might like to see, apparently based upon some of the subjects covered on this program. Or the approach to the subjects, I mean. Well, I did not know what to expect, and it all wound up being fairly prosaic in origin, as they say. But there is a collector's value to the stuff, to the historian of the curious, to the Fortean inclined philosopher. There's satisfaction in handling the old materials, the mimeograph newsletters, the military-style graphic efficiency of the nuts and bolts aerospace-leaning UFO literature, the lean and generally literate prose, in a narrative style we've absorbed over half a century of UFO cop characters, Project Blue Book, The Men in Black, Rick Deckard, The Blade Runner. Well, it was a cold night, one of the few good cold nights in the Mojave during that last winter that raced by too fast. The best time of year in the desert, nights with a Franklin stove, days sunny and cool enough to be out all day. Hike all day on Christmas if you like. You've got to act You've got to plan that trip, take that hike, climb those rocks if you must, because if you don't, you will find that it doesn't happen. One day it's spring and Easter and Passover and April Fools all at once, and you're thinking, what the hell did I do that was so important? That I managed to not take a long walk up Sima Dome, or at least wandered around the boulders at the edge of town a couple more times. I realize spring is a very popular time of year in the desert. When Instagram starts looking like a seed catalog, there's so many flower pictures. I've done it too, I admit it. But the cold times are the times that I love most. It's a preference, like on one of those social networks. Anything's fine. Any information is worth something to somebody, probably, usually. If they can't sell you something based on your personal preferences, they can probably blackmail you with it. What are you gonna do? The rattler's out of the recycling bin, as they say. And hopefully all of this is just a phase. Just an awkward phase we're going through. Well, now I'm rolling up Kelbaker Road. I say up because I am driving south, but gaining elevation. It goes from 45 degrees to 32 Fahrenheit over the next 15 miles, and that's the kind of air you want blasting your face through the barely open windows. That'll keep you alert. That and a large coffee from the Mad Greek, something good on the satellite radio. And all the while, there's this very bright light just over the mountains, the New York Mountains and the Providence Mountains, just kind of hanging over the peaks. At one point, it seems to pick up speed, the light getting brighter and bluer, like it's coming down. Good Lord, it might just crash land right here in the preserve in the dunes. I got the road to myself, and I pull over to take a look. And that's when I realize, standing outside in the cold Mojave night, that my windshield is all grimed up and filthy. My driver's side wiper is worn out. Along with the 90-degree twist and turns on this stretch of Kelbaker north of the depot, and the lack of visible points of reference on the ground, Sirius, the dog star, the brightest star in the sky, briefly looked like some kind of insane blue-white fireball or space debris, or who knows, maybe space monsters. Maybe those elusive space aliens. Always hanging around for no apparent reason. Just visiting. No photographs, please. Well, I walked off the road a ways and I stood out there. I stood out there for a while, drinking the rest of the coffee and looking at the stars blinking between the peaks of the Providence Mountains. So happy Snakesgiving to you all. Across the desert southwest, across these western lands. Oh, I love this time of year, walking through the drugstore when the seasonal aisles are all full of those inflatable yard snakes people like to put up on their dead lawns for Snakesgiving. All kinds of greeting cards. Happy Snakesgiving to my dropout grandson, or to my Snakesgiving sweetheart. Come curl up on the trail with me, that kind of thing. Printed picnic napkins, centerpieces for the dining room table, rubber snakes hanging out of the plastic creosote, little LED lights for eyes. Everybody wants to go to the Snakesgiving Parade, that big scrap metal snake done by the local artist, stretching across Main Street, which is really just the state highway. There will be some vendors, a lemonade stand maybe, and you can bet the local paper will send a photographer, maybe both photographers. You know, I used to work for a country newspaper editor long ago, and he said the key to a successful small-town newspaper was to put a picture of everybody in the paper. Everybody in town should have their picture in the paper at least once a year. He kept index cards. This particular country town also had a lot of bad characters. We had a whole mobile home park that the sheriff's deputies called Tweaker Acres. So I asked my editor about those people, the people having a harder time. Did they get their pictures in the paper? He said, no, of course not. They weren't subscribers. But they did get to see their names in the police blotter every couple of months.
It's kind of like that song Waylon Jennings wrote for the Redneck TV show back when I was a kid. He said, I'm a good old boy, you know, my mama loves me, but she don't understand. They keep showing my hands and not my face on TV. I think because they were always coming out with their hands up. It's nice to make some television programming for every demographic. Decades ago, when I first came to California, another kid at school was asking me what was different in the South where I'm from. This was a welcome change from the usual interaction with suburban California children of that time. They would just mercilessly harass anyone from anywhere else for not speaking in that idiot surfer kind of voice popular at the time. Very few words, very few syllables. Dumb and proud of it. And as this neighborhood was mostly Navy, with naval housing and all that, there were people with every kind of accent from all over the world, mostly the Rust Belt, Texas, and the Philippines. Everybody just hated each other's guts. Well, I told this kid about back where I'm from. There were crazy Southern preachers like Jimmy Swaggart on TV all the time. Jimmy Swaggart, first cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis and Mickey Gilley. Musical prodigies, all of them, all out of their minds. And I told them how there was even a country music TV show with a bunch of rubes and hicks wearing overalls, sitting on hay bales, making jokes about cows, that sort of thing. And he says, you idiot, that's Hee Haw. That's made on a soundstage in Los Angeles. It had never occurred to me. I figured all this stuff was out of Nashville or Shreveport or something, like the Louisiana Hayride. And then he told me California had even crazier televangelists, who were rich as kings, and they built glass skyscrapers from the money that was sent to them. Money sent by retired ladies living on pensions. We had pensions back then, at least. All right, I've got to do a little bit of desert park information. This is on the radio on Friday nights. That's right when all the visitors are driving up to Joshua Tree, and we got to give them some information. It's a public service. So excuse me. This is KCDZ 107.7 FM informational radio for desert visitors. Please listen carefully to the following bulletins regarding the following situations affecting the preserve during this busy Snakesgiving weekend. For visitors to our neighboring National Monument, Sand to Snow National Monument, please be aware that there are ongoing issues regarding the feral dog packs running loose around the trails and also the angry feral cattle that have been confronting day hikers. The Longhorns in particular. According to reports from rangers, visitors, and the local newspapers, about 150 unbranded and unwanted cattle are stomping around the Palm Springs side of Sand to Snow National Monument, and they are both unfriendly and aggressive. These are not the cartoon cows on the milk cartons. These cattle have gone wild, and they don't like anyone, along with all the packs of pit bulls and such, many hikers have had unpleasant encounters. As the National Monument is not our jurisdiction, all we can do is caution visitors to remain alert, remain vigilant, and if you have the skills to rustle up some cattle, well, each one of these beasts contains about 400 pounds of beef. You can sell it as free-range beef. That's not in dispute. You'll probably need a half dozen cowboys and a helicopter and a bunch of two-way radios and non-lethal defense systems, web nets shot out of a cannon from the choppers and whatnot. It's going to be a big operation, but if you get all the free cattle, you will make significant profit. Altogether, this is about 60,000 pounds of lean free-range beef. That's $90,000 wholesale, according to the USDA prices for this month. And you would really be helping out, and you would really make the situation better up on the trail. Please bring plenty of water and keep your cell phone turned off so that if you need emergency assistance, you might have enough battery power to get a 911 call out, assuming you can find a place with cell phone signals, which is unlikely. The California desert features a wide variety of snakes, many of them venomous, all of them beautiful and deserving of their life in the wild. The Mojave rattlesnake, often called the Mojave green despite the fact that they often are not green in color, is unique in having both a hemotoxin and a neurotoxin in its venom. A very dangerous snake if you are dumb enough to tangle with one. Do not harass snakes or any other wildlife or local resident. Watch where you step and watch where you reach. Most rattlesnake bites are the result of people sticking their hands or other extremities somewhere they're not looking. The rest of the bites are due to drunken men deciding to show off for other drunken men. Disturbing any wildlife, including these pit vipers, is a crime punishable by whatever one of our freelance rangers decides to do with you. Other rattlesnakes in our high desert preserve include the western diamondback, the sidewinder, and the speckled rattlesnake, all quite capable of sending you to our dubious local hospital for longer than you can afford to stay. Anti-venom runs about $1,500 per vial, and you'll need at least a half dozen vials, along with the usual emergency room cost and blood work and such, and that's if you're lucky enough to avoid permanent nerve damage or organ failure. Welcome to Lonesome Triangle Desert Preserve. The following campgrounds are closed due to tourist season: Fitzgerald Wash, Paiute Creek, Centipede Springs, Sorry Springs Canyon, and Hobgoblin Flats. Due to many millions of visitors, you are unlikely to find a campsite at all and will probably end up driving out to Barstow at 2 a.m. looking for a motel. Due to a recent outbreak, you may experience delays at Devil's Teapot, Mesquite Harbor, Cougar Senior Village, and Stampede Wash. Visitors are advised to register at the ranger station before embarking upon backcountry trails. We almost lost another hiker just this week. Found him after 3 days. Visitors should provide contact information and blood tests may be required for all hike-in campers at Monster Lake and Missing Time Canyon. There is no cell phone service in or around Shovel Valley, Lost Horse Ledge, Pearson's Hole, No Hope Canyon, and Port City Wash. Antelope Flat tours have been discontinued due to security concerns as of October 2001. It is prohibited to stop your vehicle between Choya Ridge and Quail Station. The road is closed at either end, dusk till dawn, 365 days per year. That concludes Information Radio for the Desert Preserve from KCDZ 107.7 FM. Please make sure and carry all of your field guides, wildflower books, and other reading material on your day hikes. You will find yourself feeling very grounded and secure, having a good heavy weight at the bottom of your backpack. Three million visitors a year is what we got at Joshua Tree National Park this year. That is double what we had during the recession a decade ago, and about two-thirds more than we had just a couple of years ago. As we lack any kind of modern services, we only got internet about 10 years ago, we find ourselves a little crushed. We have about four restaurants, a couple of motels, one saloon. You go into the saloon this time of year, and they give you one of those buzzers. You can have a table in the saloon in 45 minutes. Watch the buzzer. Boyd is Isaacs, and tonight from Palm Springs, this has been Desert Oracle Radio. You can hear the broadcast on 107.7 FM in Joshua Tree in the high desert each Friday night at 10 p.m. on your radio. Try listening on a lonesome night drive. That's really the point of it all. Or from your windblown tent or a creaking cabin. Maybe bring out the portable radio. Bring it out by the campfire. However you do it, we are thankful for your fellowship via radio waves. You know, it's a radio wave even if you listen to the podcast on your phone, because that's how the things work, radio waves. Thanks to Leonardo Bravo and Melissa Hempel here at the Palm Springs Art Museum Education Department tonight for inviting us over, inviting us to bring all this high desert rabble to the city. I hope none of them got into trouble. I hope that none of you did anything weird out in the sculpture garden. We have a reputation to maintain. Some quick announcements before the Ravens take us home this coming Saturday, April 28th, Thanksgiving weekend, is Independent Bookstore Day. Desert Oracle can be found in many beloved indie bookstores, including Skylight Books in Los Angeles and Back of Beyond in Moab. And on Saturday, I'm going to be up at Red Rock Books in downtown Ridgecrest. It's one of my favorite independent bookstores in the desert. Red Rock Books, 12 to 4, I believe. And if you enjoy the desert soundscapes on our radio program by Red, Blue, Black, Silver, several of which you've heard tonight, on Sunday, April 29th at 7 p.m. at the Beatnik Lounge in downtown Joshua Tree, our own Red, Blue, Black, Silver is performing live on the occasion of his album release. It's called Red, Blue, Black, Silver 01. It's his first album. It's even on vinyl. It's a free performance. Come by if you're around. It's a free night out. No Netflix subscription required. And that is it for us. Thank you for coming. Thanks for listening. Make sure to shake out your boots in the morning. And good night from the voice of the desert.
Thanks to Ken Lane for his work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thank you, Gallatin Valley, and everyone for listening. Please call and leave me a message or text about anything on your mind. The number is 406-404-6246. You can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgvm.org website. Till next week, stay well and sweet dreams. And by the way, happy May Day. How will you celebrate?